The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Good afternoon. First off, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Thank you, Dan Snyder. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody, from Dan Snyder, who finally, after saying this on January 2nd, 2020, is finally saying it in a timely fashion. Happy Thanksgiving, Dan Snyder, who inexplicably said this on January 2nd when he was about to introduce Ron Rivera as his new head coach.
Yeah. Dan Snyder, it's great to hear from you. Always love hearing from you. It's always good to be reminded that as bad as things get at any point in DFW around the most valuable football team in America, in the world, sports franchise, at least, it's always nice to know that there's always going to be an owner that's worse than yours.
And it's always good to know that no matter what time of year it is, you should always be wishing people a happy Thanksgiving, but especially on today. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I am Ari Temkin. He's Roy White. This is Broadcasting the Boys here on the Blogging the Boys podcast network. We're so pleased you could join us because it is game day, Dallas Cowboys game day, and there's nothing like the Cowboys and the Washington football team on Thanksgiving, just like God had intended. Roy on Twitter at RDub3. I am on Twitter at RE Sports, A-R-I Sports. By the way, you can catch the Dallas Cowboys pregame show for today's game against the football team at 12:30 on 105.3 The Fan and across the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network, and the postgame show to follow, of course, with myself and Brian Broaddus. But before we get to the game and before we sort of recap last week's game and look ahead and what are now the expectations and how do we feel about the season now, what's been a crazy, tumultuous 2020 season for the Cowboys got even crazier and more tumultuous. Earlier this week, there was a report of a serious medical emergency at the Cowboys facility at the Star in Frisco. It was said to be non-COVID related, but there was a lot of mystery surrounding it. And then we found out later in the day that the strength and conditioning coach, Marcus Paul, had collapsed early in the day. And as of Wednesday evening, the Cowboys released a statement saying that he had officially passed. He was fighting for his life on life support, but that he finally succumbed and passed away Wednesday night at the age of 54 years old. Marcus Paul played at Syracuse. He was an All-American. He was drafted by the Bears, but for the most of his football career, he's been a strength and conditioning coach and has worked under Mike Wojcik for many of those years, including for 2 years for the Dallas Cowboys. When McCarthy came in, he relieved Wojcik of his duties and elevated Marcus Paul to be the head strength and conditioning coordinator. And that's one of the saddest parts of this to me. Here's a guy that worked his entire life at 54 years old, finally got the head strength and conditioning job for the Cowboys this year, and midway through the season, he collapses in his office and passes away.
It's just sad all around. I mean, there's no other way to say it. When you hear that the team called off practice and that basically the facility shut down as a result of a medical emergency, I mean, forgive me, but you kind of only think the worst in that, okay, they're headed to the hospital, right? But even at that point, you still kind of, okay, but, you know, what's the worst that could have happened in a situation like that? And man, it just makes you want to reach out and hug the people that loved him, the people that were close to him, and clearly the people that he impacted around the NFL. Because if you go on social media and you type in Marcus Paul, you will see a massive amount of outpouring of love and pain from figures within the NFL. Scott Hansen kind of said it best when the host of the NFL Red Zone, when he played with Paul, well, didn't play with Paul at Syracuse, but he attended Syracuse as a long snapper. And Paul came up to him and essentially accepted him into the Syracuse Brotherhood in front of teammates who at the time had not given Hansen that acceptance, right? Mm-hmm. And because Paul came in with his pedigree, accepted the man, it basically made him totally cool with the rest of the team. And Hansen himself kind of said, there are figures in the NFL who impact the league in the way that superstar players do, but you've never heard of them. And Marcus Paul was exactly that type of player and that type of person.
I mean, this is to lose a coach midway through a season, to lose anybody involved in an organization, but especially a coach that's that involved. And that's as devastating for a team as it gets. And obviously with some of those initial reports that indicated that he had passed prior to that actually happening, and then sort of his children's reaction, how his daughter was posting on Facebook about it. It's unbelievably sad. And there's really nothing to say beyond that. And your hearts, your thoughts and your prayers go out to their family. And obviously that family, the Cowboys family, will never be the same. But you just hope that you can continue to, you know, live every day, knowing that a little piece of him will live on forever if you allow it to. So I didn't know Marcus Paul. I obviously saw him around the facility and recognized his face. And to me, it's obviously so sad for the family, but I just think you work so hard in your life to accomplish something and to get to a spot where you're the head strength conditioning coach after years and years of being an assistant. I mean, basically since 1998, he was an assistant strength and conditioning coach. So to finally get elevated there and then pass away at the age of 54 in the middle of your first season as the head of it is just, man, it's real tough.
So, it's devastating. It's devastating. And that's why it was really great to hear that the Cowboys are going to spend a portion of their pregame before the game starts later today. They are going to spend it honoring Marcus Paul and honoring his legacy. So I'm sure they have something not only planned for the game, but also planned long term to honor his legacy. But yeah, man, there's no other way to describe it other than devastating. And I honestly, I wonder what kind of impact it has on the players who have to go out there and try to play a football game in the wake of something like this. I mean, we already had a game canceled on Thanksgiving in prime time, a spot that you would think the NFL would do everything they can to make a football game happen, and it was canceled because of the risks of COVID. Now, I know we're not talking about the same type of thing here, but I have to ask, should they even be playing this football game?
It's a good question, right? I mean, the Cowboys are synonymous with playing on Thanksgiving. We know that. This is a game that they play every year, and it's a tradition unlike any other in the NFL. But, I mean, they didn't practice at all on Tuesday, which would have been their final practice of the week in preparation for the game on Thursday. Might have done a walkthrough on Wednesday, but, you know, to basically lose a full day of practice and then have this obviously weighing pretty heavily on them. I mean, there's just no telling how they'll respond, and it'll be different for everybody. And I mean, it's such a tough death is so hard for us to fathom because it sort of allows us to look introspectively at our own lives, I think, in a sense, when somebody around us dies or someone's close to us that dies or somebody like this in a high profile situation passes, you know, it very much puts us in a place that makes us uncomfortable, obviously. But I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that there are a lot of players that say, let's play. It's what he would have wanted. And it's a good way to forget about that and that pain for a couple of hours and go out there and do something you love and play for him in a sense, right? It could galvanize a locker room.
Yeah.
And probably will. But I mean, there's no right answer here. You know, there really isn't.
No, I think you're right there. I mean, I think they will definitely be playing this football game for Marcus Paul in every facet of it. You will feel it from start to finish in all likelihood, however things end up. And, you know, I guess from the standpoint of a football game, you know, maybe that is, you know, that is something that can galvanize the football team and that can make this team come to bed together and play even better than they did the last time they met the Washington football team, which was, of course, the last time that Andy Dalton was sent off the football field. And that's kind of, I guess, where I would start if we were going to transition to a football conversation.
Right. So the Cowboys and football team are going to play 3:30 kick, 3 o'clock, 3:30 kick. Again, the pregame show starts at 12:30 on 105.3 The Fan. Across
that pregame show, make sure you listen to the pregame show. That is going to be a lot better than the football game that's actually going to be on at that time.
Which is what, Lions and who cares?
Who cares?
Lions and some other team that you don't care about. So I guess totally the first thing you think about is the last time these two teams played, but I also like, what about last week, the Vikings game, and how shocked, how impressive, how weird it was. It was very bizarre to do the postgame show because it was very much like a disappointment to a certain degree, losing through winning, but yet it's hard to divorce yourself from a season because you don't want to be discussing the offseason in November because you've got a full offseason to discuss the offseason, so you might as well discuss football games. So here are the Cowboys, still alive, very much so, playing in what is a de facto division championship game for them. I mean, I'd say it's a must-win, quote-unquote, for the Cowboys to win this division. Otherwise, they get swept by the Washington football team, and now the football team's in the driver's seat to win the division. But, I mean, the question is, have the Cowboys improved enough since they lost to this team 25-3 in what felt like a game that wasn't even as close as that?
Well, within that football game, I don't believe Zach Martin made it all the way through that football game.
He didn't play at all.
Yeah, wasn't even there. Andy Dalton obviously did not make it through that football game all the way. So I think just those two pieces alone would have them probably in a more competitive position this time around. You know, it really is interesting to be in a position where a win could be the difference between where the Cowboys are now, which would be picking fourth, or potentially in the worst playoff position you could be in, but still winning your division. So that would have you picking 16th, 18th,
yeah. 19th, I think.
Yeah, I guess 14 teams. So 19th. Yes, you are correct. Normally, being one game out, or in the Cowboys' case, a half a game out of the division lead, and in a position, if they win the game, to take the division lead, would not bring such a significant jump in the draft order. And that's why people are conflicted. I understand it. For me, I still think there's value in this football team actually winning the division. I do believe that. I think there's value in it for the coaching staff. I think there's value in it for the morality of some of the players that who are still around, who you are still anticipating needing to rely on in future seasons. I do think there's value, you know, in shaking out some positions, perhaps at safety, on who might stay and who might go, at cornerback, who might stay and who might go. But, you know, based on the remaining schedule, the Cowboys, I think, are in a pretty good position to win this division. And overall, I think that's a little bit more advantageous than where they may ultimately end up finding themselves, which is not in a top three position, but probably in more like a 7 or 8 range.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday, and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
The football team, they have basically the number one pass defense in the National Football League. You can attribute that to their fantastic pass rush. Montez Sweat has just lit it up this year. 6 sacks. He's got 7 tackles for loss. Chase Young's having an incredible impact. 3.5 sacks, 5 tackles for loss. Ryan Kerrigan has 6 sacks or 5.5 sacks.
They're as loaded as they were the last time we talked about that front 7. They are dangerous. They're still just as healthy. And it's
well, they're getting better by the week. Right. And they've got, I mean, the thing is too, like, they've got a bunch of first round picks that we know on their defensive line, but they also have a couple of really smart defensive coordinators and head coach Ron Rivera. And then of course, Jack Del Rio, their defensive coordinator. So like they have, it's a smart scheme, smart coaches, good players, good talent. So that's, to me, that's this game. We talked about it last time, and it's really important to note this is a completely different offensive line. However, the offensive line looked really, really good last week against one of the worst defensive lines in football. So how improved do they be now this week with, I mean, Cam Irving at left tackle, Zach Martin at right tackle, McGovern at right guard? I mean, that's, I guess, the scariest part to me is the interior of that offensive line here going into this game.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you because you actually feel decent about the edges. Certainly with Zach Martin out there, I mean, you always felt like he could play whatever position you needed him to. And I'm glad they finally decided that, hey, we need you to play this position because it's one of the most important positions on the football field. But yeah, is the middle of this line vulnerable against a pass rush that will almost certainly know and exploit that fact? 100%. 100%. Does that mean that they won't have a chance if they play the game in shotgun, use a little misdirection to keep those players on their heels a little bit, confuse them in situations using play action to just get them to hesitate? I think they can do enough in that regard to have success against this defense.
What did you like last week that you think is translatable here in this game?
Well, I obviously think that the use of Tony Pollard in the way that they're using him is something they need to continue to do. Now, again, people will argue that he needs to see more touches, but I mean, his snap count relative to Zeke's last week was about 30% to 70%. And I would ask most Cowboys fans, do you want to see Zeke on the field less than 70% of the time? Based on what you know about his talent, even if the numbers this season might not reflect that great talent.
Where are you on that?
I think you need to see Zeke at least 70% of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're right on the precipice. I think last week was a good usage of Tony Pollard.
Yeah.
At the time that they used him. Obviously, he also got a tremendous block from teammate Noah Brown. That was an unbelievable block that sprung him for the touchdown. In terms of other things that they can use, I hesitate to anoint our new safety, our new beloved safety that everyone thinks is just all of a sudden a turnover magnet.
Donovan
just
Wilson?
Because, yes, just because he had a hard hit that forced a fumble. Great hit. No question about it.
Let's not
pretend he was making that happen. It wasn't like he punched it out. Okay. It wasn't like he stripped it.
He hit it like a sledgehammer hitting a watermelon, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. There was did you see the pundit who wasn't too happy about that little trick?
I did not. Out of sight, out of mind, my friend. There's no reason to draw any attention to that show in any capacity whatsoever. It's only playing into what they want.
It's such theater that I couldn't help but laugh. I mean, that was comedy. That was high comedy is what that was. Look, in terms of things that they can translate from last week, like, I think just continue to build off of that. They had some misdirection. They had usage from many different places. They got their big guns involved. All three wide receivers saw some usage. You know, they may have to get the ball out a little bit quicker this time around, but again, there's opportunities in that regard.
So I thought Kellen Moore had about as good of a game as he's had calling in his career as the offensive coordinator of the Cowboys. So I think the success they had on offense was so much of Kellen Moore and just design and timing and everything. It was just this perfect combination of great play design, great timing. You know, the thing is, Andy Dalton was not very good, especially in the first half, really in the first three quarters of this game.
No, he wasn't.
A lot of throws. He missed a lot of throws. One of them, it led to an interception. He had guys wide open. The thing is, like, Minnesota secondary was leaving guys wide open, and he left a lot of meat on that bone. And even the CeeDee Lamb touchdown was a bad overthrow that CeeDee just made into a non-overthrow. So I think, like, they won this game.
He threw it to the wrong shoulder. He didn't overthrow it, but he threw it to the wrong shoulder.
He just threw it to the wrong place. Wherever he threw it to where he's looking left, he threw it to his back shoulder right. And I mean, it was a ridiculous catch. And then in real time, I was like, I don't know if people realized how ridiculous the catch that was, because he was facing the wrong way.
The reverse angle tells the true tale on that
right.
one.
Right. You'd see it. But even in real time, it was like, whoa, he jumped in the opposite direction that he was leaning. Like, that's ridiculous. And then to not only jump that way is absurd, but to like watch the ball as you're doing that, that's difficult. That's not human. So, I mean, I just attribute much of their success to Kellen Moore. And so I'd say, like, that's what the Cowboys are going to be counting on again in this game, because their quarterback play is not great. They have to manufacture offense against a really good pass rush. And so they've got to manufacture some of their running game. And I think that's what they did. They did a really good job in manufacturing a running game. And all of a sudden you look up and Zeke's got 21 carries for 103 yards at 5 yards a carry. Tony Pollard's getting involved. They're getting CeeDee Lamb involved in the running game. You mentioned the misdirection. We're going to need to see more of that in this game.
And that CeeDee Lamb one, I think specifically, is one that is really interesting, because I think at some point they're setting up a toss back, another throw, an opportunity. There are too many weapons that are still available if CeeDee Lamb just takes a handoff on an end around, that if guys like Michael Gallup or Amari Cooper aren't accounted for, they could take serious advantage of that. So that's something that I think just continue to build off of it. Just continue to build off of what Kellen Moore just put out for the rest of the league to think about. Mm.
Defensively for the Cowboys, I think, you know, I mean, it's hard not to like what you've been seeing from them. It's been pretty impressive. They dominated the first half of the game against the Vikings, and then they gave up some scores, but it was inevitable. I mean, Brian Broaddus and I said at halftime of that game, it's like, they're going to need to score some more points, Cowboys, because they're leaving points to the board, and this defense is going to hold this offense forever. And the Washington football team's offense is not good. Alex Smith is not good. I mean, this is a very similar team from an offensive standpoint as the Cowboys. I shouldn't say that. The quarterback situation is very similar, right? You've got conservative game manager quarterbacks. The Cowboys obviously have way better arsenal of offense, and the football team has really good running game that's emerging in Gibson and Terry McLaurin, who's, you know, one of the best young receivers in the game. But their offensive personnel doesn't scare me very much. It's the defense and defensive line in particular that scares the heck out of me in this game.
Well, I mean, they're frightening. They're frightening. But, you know, the Cowboys defensive line has been kind of holding their own on their end here recently. They've gotten some reinforcements. We talked about it a little bit between us about Randy Gregory's continued impact. And, I mean, yes, obviously the Cowboys are outgunned. They're outmanned. They're in trouble along their offensive line against the Washington football team defensive line. But I find the Cowboys defensive line can make some noise as well. And as long as they don't buy the play action attempts that Washington will obviously unload on, and there's no reason to based on their lack of a rushing attack, I think the Cowboys can have a solid game plan to win this game. I really do. And I think they can take control of the division.
Are you picking them to win?
I am picking them to win. Yeah. If I had to gamble, and I don't do gambling anymore because I don't have the money for it, quite frankly, and I was never too good at it before. But I think the Cowboys do win this football game.
And I think a gambling man, even though I'm horrible at it, so I don't gamble anymore.
I think they just miss out on a 30 burger. I think they just miss out on 30 points, which I think for an Andy Dalton-led football team against this Washington defense, that would strike people as pretty damn good.
I wish I could go there with you. I really do. I'm just going to go with who has the best of the four units we're looking at here. Cowboys offense, Cowboys defense, Washington offense, Washington defense.
Okay. Yeah. Their defense is the one seed.
Is the one seed.
Yeah.
Who's the two seed?
The Cowboys. The Cowboys offense.
Right. But it's like, it might even be a four seed.
Yeah. Like a one seed, four seed here. There's a significant drop off between the one and the two. But I do think the Cowboys have the inside track there. So if you're doing a snake draft, you would actually go football team, Cowboys, Cowboys, football team.
The reason I'm picking the Washington team to win this game is because that defense, and I just don't know about the Cowboys offensive line.
They haven't seen a full game of Andy Dalton, son. They haven't seen a full game of Zach Martin, son. Those two alone, honestly, in my opinion, tip the scales and the balance at that particular trench. And what I'm referring to is that battle across the offensive line.
I admire your confidence in the Red Rocket.
Well, don't get me wrong. It's not too much confidence. I don't want to start jumping off into a position where I'm pretending the Cowboys are a great football team, but they are also playing a football team that is 3-7. As good as their defense is, they are 3-7.
True.
Okay. Their offense can give you points too. And based on what the Cowboys did last week, they are kind of riding a momentum swing that maybe they might be able to produce some more points and put the Cowboys offense in a position to put easy points on the board.
All right. So what's your score prediction here? You said 30 burger or near 30 burger?
Near 30 burger. Near 30
near
burger.
30 burger.
27-21. I think the Cowboys defense will stand up a little bit, which again, they're giving up 21 points. That's their definition of standing up these days.
I'm going to go 24-20 Washington.
No, bro.
I'm going to go 24-20 Washington. I'm
no.
going the football team to win it here, 24-20.
It's not the way it's going to happen.
Team that has the propensity to turn the football over against a good defense. Maybe it'll be a surprise, but that's what I'm expecting. Have a great Thanksgiving. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Of course, make sure to tune into the broadcast, the pregame and postgame show, and make sure to yell at me on the postgame show if I'm wrong and the Cowboys.
Why would I do that? And listen to a hater like you hating on this football team.
That's a good point. You shouldn't. You shan't. Follow Roy on Twitter at RDub3. I am on Twitter at RE Sports, A-R-I Sports. Roy, sir, have a happy Thanksgiving. But for now, leave the people with something.
Have a happy Thanksgiving. Hug the ones that you can while you can is all I got to say today.